Hey, this is Ryan Thomas. Thanks so much for listening to On the Road and supporting Faith Radio. You are just the very best, and we appreciate you so much. Enjoy the show.
Discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
At just 36 years old, Terry Looper was a successful Christian businessman who thought he had it all, until managing all he had led to a devastating burnout. Wealthy beyond his wildest dreams, but miserable beyond belief, Terry experienced a radical transformation when he discovered how to align himself with God's will in the years following his crash and burn. Terry's just released book, Sacred Pace, is a four-step invitation for Christians in all walks of life to slow down their decision-making, find clear, peace-filled answers from God, and grow closer to the one who loves them most and knows them best. To tell this remarkable story today, we welcome the man himself, Mr. Terry Looper, joins us on the road today. A tremendous day to you, sir. How's it going in the Republic of Texas today?
It's going well. It's cold for Houston, but I don't think it's cold for where you're calling from. And it's almost 40. So we're in, so it's not real cold here, based on other parts of the nation. So we're doing great.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, sir. And actually today, you know, not as much distance between us as some other days. So we support you, and we know as a Texan that temperature is a little bit different for you. So it's great to have you here with us today, sir.
Well, it's my honor. It truly is. Thank you.
Well, I'm not going to fib to you, sir, as we begin this conversation. As a 33-year-old myself, it was pretty intimidating to read about the level of success that you'd already achieved by your mid-30s. It was hard work and acumen in the energy business in Texas that brought you there. But just as we begin, can you get us started by explaining a bit about how you'd built your company to that point and what you did?
I was a minority partner. Actually, I earned sweat equity. I didn't have any ownership initially when we started the company. Eventually earned some equity, and eventually we sold. But during that approximately 4 years, it was my first time in my career where the upside was unlimited in my mind. And when I found out later that money was my false god, I understood better why I worked so hard and was so preoccupied when I was at home and pretty much an absentee mentally husband and father. Mm-hmm. And because I was chasing that magic, you know, money. But that was quite a journey. It was only a 4-year journey from the beginning of starting that company until we sold it to a utility.
Wow. That's an incredibly abbreviated path for sure. And there's this oft-used descriptor, right? Wealthy beyond your wildest dreams. And that's really where you found yourself at that point. But
yeah,
as you alluded to already, I mean, how was getting to that point maybe not all that you hoped, not all that you expected in terms of the cost to you personally and spiritually?
Well, about 2 years before we sold, I started getting dizzy, and I went to a psychologist and asked him, well, and I went to a regular doctor and said, what's the deal? And he said, well, it's stress. And I said, well, give me some magic pills. And he said, no, I'm not doing that. And I went, wow, I thought everybody could get some magic pills or whatever you want to call them. And he wouldn't do it. And so I went on about my way, and as my brain got fuzzier, and as my dizziness continued, I got to where I couldn't make large decisions. I started procrastinating with them. I just couldn't think clear. And then closer to my burnout, I got to where I couldn't make small decisions, again, fuzzier and fuzzier. Then on a Saturday morning, I was home and not particularly working, the best I remember, and my brain shut down. When I say shut down, I assumed it either was a nervous breakdown or my brain had permanently shut down. It felt like it was permanent and irretrievable. kind of felt like when a marathoner hits the wall where their legs just fold. I mean, my brain folded. So my wife helped me to the bedroom, put me under the covers, and shut the door and shut the drapes and left me alone, and all I really knew to do was cry. Eventually, I got on my knees and said, "Lord, please take control of my life, because clearly I have messed it up." And so that was a demarcation. And the interesting thing is, I thought I was a Christian. I was a tithe, 10%. I was a deacon and soon to be ordained as an elder. And lo and behold, and I prayed. And but lo and behold, as I look back, relationship I really had was, he was my Santa Claus. I wanted him to do this and do that, and basically me be Lord and tell him what I wanted and needed in my life.
Of course.
And then once he convicted me that to become true follower of Christ, then the, you know, things started changing drastically and fast. And I did a bunch of therapy right in that juncture to figure out, why is such a people pleaser? Why is it overachiever? Why I've got my money was, I didn't know it was my false god, and various insecurities and various sins. I tried to take them all to the altar. Some of which improved, and some is a lifelong journey, as you well know.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. It's the voice of Terry Looper, the author of the brand new title, The Sacred Pace. Hearing you describe it, I mean, one would not anticipate that what you've described would be a life-changing good thing, but you described that as being the pivot point that changed your life so much for the better. How did that end up being a reality?
Well, I think we've all probably met people, when we really pay attention, that have life-changing events, whether it's a heart attack or whatever, I did an interview this week with a lady that had breast cancer, and it was a life-changing event for her, and clearly a wake-up call. So this was more than a wake-up call. This was, I don't know what to describe it, but it scared me to death, and I said, I'm going to go to this psychologist till this never happens to me again, and along with prayer and along with seeking the Lord's will. And I probably spent 4.5 years, actually, in so-called wilderness, if you want to call it that, so-called spiritual, emotional growth, until I finally started the company I now run after 30 years.
One of the biggest features of your life in this next season is what you call dying to self. And that's certainly a phrase that we've heard a lot about. What did that mean for you? What did that look like in your life?
Probably the most drastic example of that was what the Lord convicted me of. In order to start the company, I did not want to go back and become my old ways. And now that I had a good relationship with my wife, fortunately the same lady, and I'll just say, if anybody's a hero in our family, it's her and not me. I could cry every time I tell that. But she stood by me when I was a wreck. But he convicted me, if I really didn't want to go back to the way I was and I wanted to continue a relationship, my new relationship with my daughters and him and my wife, he convicted me of something as an entrepreneur I don't ever recommend. And that was to start the company at 40 hours a week max and no sales metric goals, no numbers goals. And, that was the beginning. I didn't know that he was starting to teach me this discernment process that I wrote about 30 years later. But that was the first and most significant of me dying to self, because I thought it was absolutely ludicrous, stupid, and ridiculous for me to start a company at 40 hours a week. And so I definitely had a preference. And that was that's what he convicted me of, that was going to protect my relationships with my family and the Lord.
And when you say limiting yourself to 40 hours a week, does that mean you as the boss, 40 hours a week? Does that mean the employees too? How does that work?
It has evolved to limiting myself for these 30 years and try to set a culture of honoring the employees. You know, some people want to work more than 50. They're used to 40. They're used to it. Sometimes we go through seasons where people have to step up, and we have a lot of seasonal business, and sometimes, but I try to honor them the best I can to minimize the amount of time that they have to put in so they can enjoy their family also. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to heaven and say, yeah, Lord, look at me. I gave away all this money, and I only work 40 hours a week so I could have a relationship, but I trampled over my employees.
Wow.
I didn't think that would go over real well in heaven when I get there.
Then there are certainly pieces of that philosophy that you see coming into thinking in the business world, but wow, as far as the American attitude towards work, that's still pretty countercultural stuff, right?
Yeah, big time. The book, kind of unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to say it, is pretty countercultural, the whole blooming thing, because of what he kept teaching me. I've got a lot of suggestions in there to how to maybe keep from burning out, some boundaries to help you with that he's helped me and taught me. So I just got convicted to share. I've never planned on writing a book. I sure hope I'm never going to have to write another one. And I'm a businessman, Christian businessman. I never wanted to write a book, for sure. But it's been a blessing. So I've been forced to grow in the 4 years that I've been very intentional about writing this with the writer, who is very professional and very good, and I'm pitiful at writing.
That's one of my favorite things that I've heard in a long time. Terry Looper is with us, the author of the brand new title, The Sacred Pace. And it's funny you say that because I can't get over how great that statement was. I hope I never have to write another one. That's
well, and my wife for sure hopes I don't.
Understood.
Well, yeah.
It's interesting too because, you know, one of the most common advice that you see to leaders is to be vulnerable, right? People say
right.
You need to be vulnerable, but I'm guessing that reading the sentence is a lot easier than actually putting it into practice. I mean, you've put some things out there that are very authentic and very close to your heart. Why did you think it was so important to do it?
One of my gifts the Lord has given me is the gift of transparency and vulnerability in general. That being said, we didn't really look forward to selling the book this last Sunday to our church members because it's our community and it's a little close to home for our, you know, it's one thing to sell it to a person in Chicago or that doesn't know us. It's another to sell it to our friends and community at our church. But we prayed through it and that's a small price to pay, and we got over it. And you know, if somebody wanted to buy it, fine. If they didn't want to buy it, fine. And if somebody wants to judge us, fine. And we just had to pray through that.
Yeah, I love that. That's an awesome attitude right there from Terry Looper. So at the heart of the book are four steps. You call them the sacred pace process steps, and these originate then in your effort to set boundaries in your life. Introduce us to how you developed them and then what they are.
When he convicted me to do that 40 hours and no sales goals, because I felt like a sales goal could be a false god, he continued to teach me and refine that process to where kind of became my secret weapon in business and very useful in life, to where you could actually discern his will and felt like you really got it, and you really convicted, and you're really courageous now because you're locked in. And so I didn't have steps. It was pretty much homogeneous and congruent, but over time I started writing this book. I said, well, how do I tell this? So it ended up being four steps, and they are somewhat homogeneous. And the first one is to consult your friend Jesus, i.e. pray. I say consult your friend Jesus because he allowed me to receive and be overwhelmed into my heart of his love for me, and I cried like a baby when he first did that. Mm. So he says he wants to be our friend in John 15:15, so I'm going, well, I'm going to take his word at it. So you think about who a friend is, and they're a great listener. Well, nobody's going to do better than Jesus, and they love you, and nobody's going to do better than that. And he sees the future. He knows best, I just think I do, and he loves everybody around me way more than I ever can. So I'm kind of going, wow, maybe I need to consult him and tap into that. That's kind of step one, and you keep praying, and you keep praying, and the goal is to die to self or get to where you want to lay your preference down like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, you know, Lord, I really don't want to take the sins of humankind on my shoulder and take it to the cross, but I want to do your will more than my preference. So it's okay to have a preference, but eventually you got to lay it down. And so the second step is to gather facts. And what I mean by that, you can do pro-con list. You can actually do motive list of what's really motivating you for this particular journey you're on. Whether you're starting a new career, starting graduating from college, whether you're deciding whether to start your family, all kinds of reasons. But what I found is when I get really objective and really pay to be objective, I find a lot of times I realize my opinions are not facts, and yet I think they are. And then I find that when I get a fact and I really, really like it promotes my preference, I give it too much weight. In contrary, when a fact is something I don't like, then I try to discount it. Well, as you're praying, you quit doing that. Because if you're really trying to seek his will, you got to be objective and give him the same amount of weight. And, of course, the Bible's facts, answers from the Bible's clearly another source, asking your friends that you really trust, consultants, whatever, employees, whatever. Then the third step is watch for circumstances, which I believe, the Lord says in the Bible that we adore you as being in control of all things, and so I assume that then and accept that it's all circumstances are his. So you look for, even though you see thousands of them, you look for any that have legs around the subject you're dealing with and the thing you're considering doing. And then the fourth step is the reason I wrote the book is what he taught me as an average Christian was if I stayed in that state of gathering facts, watching circumstances, praying, and trying to die to self, get to where I wanted his will more than mine, when I finally did all that and finally truly, truly could say in my heart, not my head, but in my heart, I want the Lord's will more than mine, he would give me a peace in my gut of the answer. And unfortunately, it often made me cry because it isn't what I wanted, but he was so convicting for me, and I was so blessed to have that much courage and conviction that I then would be willing to go jump off the cliff because I just knew that's what he wanted me to do. And he says in Psalm 37:4, delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I'm going, holy mackerel, the God of all creation is willing to give me the desires of my heart if I will just lay my preference, my head preference. And I often don't even know my heart preference.
Right.
If I lay that down, and he just has blessed me many times and my friends and my family many times.
Man, that is beautiful stuff. Thank you for laying that out for us, sir. And can I just say as well that the phrase holy mackerel sounds so much more legit when a Texan says it than when I do.
Well, how about, let's see, what my grandson's at middle school, and he listened to one of my interviews, and he says, I wonder if he's going to say holy mackerel kingfish, because I used to do that when he was younger. So I can now tell him I said holy mackerel. I don't normally say that on these kind of things. But anyway,
We're treated. It means a lot to us, and thank you. Please do let him know as well. That would be exciting for us to know. We're here with Terry Looper on the road today for Faith Radio. He's the author of the brand new title, The Sacred Pace. And, of course, the word pace is right in the title. And this is a culture, obviously, technology has allowed us to move faster than ever before. One of the things you talk a lot about is slowing down the decision-making process. Can you just say a word about how countercultural that is? And I'm curious what the reaction has been to that message as well.
Well, I'll just say this. The since I wrote the book and talked to more people that have now read the book, some of my friends, I'm realizing the thing that my strong Christian friends are realizing is they, at times, are not being intentional enough and disciplined enough and patient enough, and because God doesn't give quick answers. He wants us to trust him, and he wants us to depend on him. So one of the ways that occurs is while we're trying to die to self, he is slow to answer. I think that sure has happened in my life. And so, people say, well, what if I need to have an answer by tomorrow or before I get peace in my gutter? And let me also say, it's the deliberate, intentional process of trying to honor the Lord and seek his will. He may not, you know, there's a lot of mature Christians out there that don't get peace in their gut, but they know that they know when they know, and they may never, you know, this isn't an answer for everybody, but the intentionality of getting to where you want his will more than yours in your heart rather than your head is, as George Mueller said in his discernment process, who was a great missionary in the 1800s, he has a great discernment process. And his one big quote is, 90% of the results are there when you want God's will more than your own.
Huh.
So it's just kind of an intentionality. And if he blesses you like he has me with peace in my gut or consternation, and you know, basically if I have to make an answer before I get there, if I don't have peace in my gut, I just try to pass because I don't know what else to do. I just decline it.
Sure.
So that's not exactly what people want to hear. and it takes me weeks, if not longer. On the bigger the project, the harder it is to die to self, right? The bigger the issue, the harder it is to die to self by definition. Therefore, the longer it takes. So this real deliberate process is more for your bigger life decisions than your little small ones. On the little small ones, I just try to get neutral. That's what I call coin this phrase, where your hands are open and just saying, Lord, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do here in terms of this issue with my kid today, but let me be open and see if you might bless me with something along the way, and be open. Go into a meeting. I try to go into a meeting with my hands open, even though I'm the CEO, to see what I'm going to learn in that meeting, rather than me going with a predisposition of how it's going to turn out.
I love that. I love that you mentioned that and brought that up. Thank you for that. That staying neutral concept just by itself is so powerful.
My daughter's talking to a ministry lady who was full-time in ministry, and after she kind of told her about getting neutral, she said, my goodness, I'm going to go in the meeting Monday morning, and I had my agenda all mapped out. I had no concept of being neutral. And she said, thank you. That alone is worth its weight in gold, of just trying to give the Lord a chance to reveal himself versus get in the sales mode.
It's really true. It's a great point. Well, Mr. Terry Looper has been with us today on the road. The book, The Sacred Pace. There is so much great insight in this book, and so much humility from a gentleman who has achieved so much. So it's a treat to read. And sir, I know it's available across the fruited plain, but as far as a web address, if people want to start the journey discovering more about the book and more about you, where should they start, sir?
At sacredpacebook.com. I did an interview a couple months ago, and they asked me that. I said, you know, I have no idea. I decided I better go find out from my publisher. I say, where am I supposed to send these people? And but you can buy it at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or whatever. But if but it's more information if you go to sacredpace.com, sacredpacebook.com.
Terry, it has been a real treat talking to you today, sir. Thank you
so much
for taking the time to give us this message and for being here today, sir.
Well, I feel the same, Ron. Thank you so much for taking the time and being willing to do it.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.
Thank you so much for listening. Programming like this is available through your support, and you can learn more about partnering financially at myfaithradio.com. We'd also love to hang out with you during the week on Facebook and on Twitter. Just search for On the Road with Ryan Thomas. Talk to you again soon.